science, learning, business, community. You. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to Think Works, the place where we do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week I had a little incident that happened that just reminded me about how sometimes the march for progress isn't exactly what we want, and that sometimes just because we can do something doesn't mean that we should. And so I've called this episode Hitting the Target but Missing the Point, Unveiling the True Impact of Digital versus Traditional Systems. Now, regular listeners will know that I'm a big, big fan of journaling, but I really do firmly believe that the best kind of journal is a hardbound paper one with a nice set of pens that you can fill in and doodle and capture your thoughts and write and freeform write and do your planning in them and all kinds of other stuff that I just find a digital application will not do, because it's simply the apps want you to work in a certain way and I want to work the way that I want to work, and therefore sometimes just having a blank piece of paper is the way to go. Now, for years and years, I've been using the Tony Robbins hardbound planners. He has a rapid planning method, and within that, there's a project plan, there's your vision plan, and there's your actual quarterly planners, your day by day, week by week, and 3 monthly planners. And I've been doing that for years and I love them. It's brilliant because I can plan stuff out, and I had a success journal that I used to buy as well, a hardbound journal as part of the kit with Tony Robbins. But recently I switched to using the Dean Graziosi's Better Life journal, because I actually find that as a format works even better with my chaotic brain, sometimes chaotic brain. But so this year I've gone to, as you know, as normal, gone to renew my order for the 2026 quarterly planners and a new project plan book, because I got to the end of the projects that I was doing. More or less I've got to tidy some things up, but you know what I mean. But more or less I wanted to set some new goals and some new projects for 2026. And try as I might, I kept going into the thing. I was just going around and around in an endless loop. Couldn't find the actual journals. So I messaged the team. Great team. You know, I love them to bits. And got the answer back. Oh, no, we're not doing them anymore. It's all online. It's an app. And I looked at the app. And it's $39. And that's a discounted rate. $39 a month. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute, that suddenly kind of quadrupled my annual spend on journals. And once again, I'm going to be doing something in a way that someone else wants me to do. So it really annoyed me. I was annoyed. I love that word, annoyed. Anyway, I was annoyed and I thought, do you know what? That's a great topic for my ThinkWorks podcast. Not the fact that Tony Robbins has done that, but the actual move, I think, to take everything onto digital online formats. And there's reasons why that's not always the best way to do it. So without further ado, let's get really into the nitty-gritty of what I'm trying to get at here. Now, I want to look at really the value of pen and paper. There's an intrinsic value, I think, in using handwriting as a cognitive tool, because the physical act of writing engages different parts of the brain compared to typing. Studies have shown if you listen passively to something, you retain, what is it, about 15%, 10-15% over a period of time. But if you write it down, it embeds it in your nervous system, and you're going to remember, I think it goes up to over 50%, but you've also written it down, so you've got something you can go back and refer to. And in terms of, I mean, I think it was the Journal of Educational Psychology found that students who take notes by hand tend to have better recall and understanding of the material. And this is because handwriting does involve that deeper cognitive processing, which aids in memory retention. And it also helps with cognitive and motor skills development. Research published in Psychological Science showed that the act of writing by hand enhances motor skills and cognitive development. It can also help in terms of delaying cognitive disrepair, like neurological decay over time. This suggests that handwriting activates areas of the brain associated with thinking, language, and working memory. There's also within that the role of tactile feedback. Findings from a study in the British Journal of Educational Technology emphasise the importance of tactile feedback in learning. The physical sensation of writing on paper can enhance the learning experience by creating a multi-sensory engagement. You've also got the flexibility and the personalisation. Paper planners allow for more. I don't care how great the app is. Paper planners allow for more flexibility and personalization. Users can easily create visual layouts and sketches and customize their organization methods, which is often limited, severely limited in some cases, in digital tools, because the tools want you to work how they work. And you haven't got that kind of free form that you can have with a piece of paper and a pen. There's been a case study on planning efficiency as well. A project management firm found that teams using paper-based planning systems reported higher satisfaction with fewer scheduling errors, and this is attributed to the ease of flipping through pages and quickly referencing past notes. And I can prove that. I mean, I'm a project manager by nature, and I have a colleague, an old friend of mine. In fact, he's done some of the podcasts with us. And he's a project manager by trade as well, or was before he retired. And he was, he got, lots of experience. But he insists on trying to do everything now on his phone, including booking engagements and scheduling in meetings, which is really annoying because of a number of reasons. First of all, he always double books. I don't know how he does it, but he must have two different apps for booking stuff. And he gets confused about what is what, and it doesn't give him enough advance warning. So I can look in my planner, my weekly planner, which relates back, my daily planner, which relates back to my weekly planner, which relates back to my monthly planner, which relates back to my quarterly and year plans. And I can very quickly find out and see what's coming up. I can scan it quickly. So I know I've got to prepare. I've got a meeting on Thursday. I'm going to be recording a podcast on unexplained mysteries. Therefore, I need to be researching that topic ready for Thursday. And then my colleague, my friend and co-presenter will actually get to Thursday before he gets a reminder to tell him to research the subject that we're going to be doing. It drives me nuts. Now, I'm not saying that on paper planners and everything else, you don't sometimes make a mistake, forget something, but it's less likely to happen because you flick through, it's there. And it's just easier than scrolling on screens all the time. It's just simple to see, especially when you've got two-page spread in front of you with your pen in hand, and you can see everything that's going on a monthly basis, then a weekly basis, and then a daily basis. So in conclusion, it just means that digital tools may have some advantages, but the simplicity and effectiveness of paper and pen remain unparalleled for people like me and for many other people as well. And you should give it a chance. If you think planning on your phone is great, wait while you sit down and try to do it in a proper organized planner. Don't just, I'm not saying create a new system for yourself all from scratch. There's some great planners out there. But you'll find having that freedom and flexibility of a blank piece of paper in front of you just helps with the creative flow. And it does, I'm sorry, it does bring better productivity and creativity into your daily, weekly and monthly routines. So hopefully, I'll put some links in there. I mean, I've found a new planner now, which I'm trying for the first time. I've already bought it and I'm looking at it and I'm going to be moving into it. I'll give you some feedback in the forum post that goes with this episode. And I'll give, if I think it's any good, I'll put the link up for you to also give it a try. But there are other ones out there. There's lots and lots of great planners out there. And what you need to do is get a planner that isn't just a simple diary. You need one that allows you to make plans. It has the dates in, yes, but it also gives you the flexibility to have a goals section, to have a planning section. The one that I've got has got a project plan section for the year. It's got your goals for the year. It's got your vision. It's got your milestones that you want to achieve. And you can just go in a logical progression, section by section, but you start always within that section with a blank piece of paper that you can look at and your brain can just go bang. And if you get stuck, because it is a blank piece of paper, don't forget, if you review the last 4 weeks worth of AI specials that I did, there are apps out there now that can help you actually get started and brainstorm ideas for you to then look at your blank piece of paper and start filling it in. Once you do that, it gets engaged in your nervous system, which makes you more likely to follow through. Trust me on that one. So, section two then is challenges with digital planning tools. Yes, I can acknowledge that there is a convenience and there's an accessibility of digital tools, but there's also limitations in certain contexts. A study published in the International Journal of Project Management found that digital scheduling tools do lead to increased errors due to interface complexity and lack of intuitive design. Project managers report frequent miscommunication and missed deadlines as a result. They don't always work properly. They don't, even if you as someone who's very adept at using them and plug in these reminders and everything else, they don't always appear on time, or they appear and they're hidden behind other screens, so you don't even know you've been reminded that you've got to prepare and research a topic for a meeting you've got tomorrow morning. It's just more difficult, I think, to see and plan accordingly and with better efficiency than you can using a proper planner and a pen. There's also research from the Journal of the Human-Computer Interaction, which highlights how poorly designed user interfaces increase cognitive load, leading to user frustration and decreased productivity. The study actually emphasizes the need for user-centered design to enhance tool effectiveness. And this is a big problem with a lot of the apps that I'm finding, is that the people that have designed the apps, the concept may be great, and it's in some areas, sometimes the actual concept is rubbish as well. It's poorly defined. But the design is done by a two-year-old. It just feels like they haven't really thought it through about what are the limitations of this. How will people with lack of IT skills be able to use this? How will, and this is in local government in particular, it just does my nuts. Everyone expects everyone to have 24/7 super fast broadband with 100% reliable computer equipment and great knowledge of how those systems work and how the web works and how you can actually log in and remember your passwords and everything else into a system to do simple things that you used to be able to just do by popping into your local government office when you're walking past or just picking up the phone and everything else. It's just bonkers. There was also a case study done which looked in a corporate environment. It looked at the reliance on digital reminders, which just leads to all the time inadequate meeting preparation. Employees report that digital tools often lack features to schedule preparation time, resulting in rushed and ineffective meetings. There's also that problem of over-reliance. As I said, my colleague who just relies on his phone for everything, and it's rubbish. There was a study in the Journal of Organizational Behavior which suggested that over-reliance on digital tools can diminish personal accountability and, crucially, critical thinking skills. The study found that individuals relying solely on digital reminders we're less engaged in proactive planning. We need to be proactive. We need to take control of our day, and we need to take control of our time. And as I said every week in the 4 weeks that I've just done on AIs, if we don't take control of those applications, they will take control of us. So again, I'm going to come back to digital tools do offer many advantages, but they are not a one-size-fits-all solution. And listeners, I really want you to critically evaluate your digital tool set and consider incorporating traditional methods to complement your planning processes. I'm not saying throw everything away, but use them in tandem. Put the things together. Use them in a way that works for your mind, but also keeps you using the systems that you have to use sometimes, or you need to use, or even if you like using them, but you're just finding there's a lack of flexibility or a lack of 100% efficiency in using an online app. Get a hard-bound planner and a hard-bound journal. Trust me, you will not go wrong with it. I mentioned in the last two sections about case studies. I want to refer to a couple of specific ones here. So in terms of digital inefficiencies, I have to get my UK prescription, for example, and I have to do it online. It forces me to do it online, and it will only allow you to get your repeat prescription 5 working days. In fact, I don't even think it's 5 working days, but let's be generous and say it is 5 working days before you run out, which is great. But it doesn't take into account public holidays and weekends. So let's say that it's kind of like you've got a Christmas where you've got Christmas Day off and Boxing Day off, and that is on a Monday and Tuesday, and you've also got Saturday and Sunday, and then it won't let you book it on the Friday or even earlier than that, and it suddenly is, you try to actually get your prescription booked and it won't let you do it until the weekend. And then it then holds it up for another 3 days because of four days, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So you're running out on the Wednesday, but that's the first working day that the prescription is actually being flagged up to the people putting the prescription together. It's rubbish. I mean, I've just mentioned this so many times to the people that have set this system up, but the NHS just, they will not shift from there, but the computer's great because it does all this. Yeah, but it's Gigo. As I've mentioned in the AI weeks that I've done, the AI application studies, garbage in, garbage out. If you don't take into account weekends and bank holidays or other national holidays, then people are going to be missing out on crucial medication, and they just don't seem to understand. And I won't care, it's not just me that's banging the drum about that. The British Medical Journal discussed the challenges faced by patients due to this system, which has led to increased anxiety and missed doses, and led to more demands on the NHS because people have ended up in A&E or needing an ambulance to come and get them because they haven't had the right meds on time. It just seems bizarre to me that people... they don't understand the systems that they're telling us that we have to use. The Journal of Health Informatics identified common design flaws in digital health systems. Their study pointed out that many systems are designed without adequate input from end users, and that's led to practical inefficiencies and real user dissatisfaction. You might be able to hear that in my voice. And that poor user experience, actually, I think it was the Journal of Public Health, highlighted how they did a study that highlighted how poor user experience in digital health systems leads to decreased compliance and negative outcomes in health. The study emphasized the need for user-centered design once again to enhance system effectiveness. There's also that lack of standardization. Research from the Journal of Medical Systems discussed the lack of standardization across digital health platforms, resulting in compatibility issues and data silos, And that's been seen with various health services accessing medical records without a unified interface. This is part of the reason why it took 10 years for me to get a diagnosis of my FND. Because despite me telling every single doctor, every single nurse, every single GP that I had an appointment with, that my brain and my body were not talking to one another, I did not get those records moved around, and I was sent for appointments, and then they go, yeah, but we're only here to scan your hip. And I'm like, it isn't my hip. Yes, I'm having problems with my hip, but it isn't my hip that's causing the problem. And 10 years of that battle, because all these systems do not talk to one another, and different cost centres run different interfaces. It's bizarre. And that I've picked on health in particular, but it's the same with financial systems and banking systems and local government in particular. Don't even get me started on that. And national government is slightly better. To be fair to the HMRC, for example, their systems, I've always found them to be, maybe it's just the way my brain works, but I've always found them to be very accessible and easy to use when you're doing certain things. The regulations around tax might not be, but the actual systems to use to pull all that together, I found really good. But local government has got a real problem that it doesn't understand what users actually need with a digital platform. So I really want, again, to get the point across, digital systems which are intended to streamline processes often introduce new challenges if not designed and implemented with user needs in mind. And listeners should advocate for more user-friendly and integrated digital solutions. Direct them to this episode. Tell them to listen to it and say, you are not actually designing a system for us to use. You're designing a system that saves you money. Or you're designing a system that makes it easy for your back office systems. It doesn't make it easier for the end user. And if the end user is having a problem, we're going to go somewhere else. And that's the key thing that you need to start getting across to all these agencies and companies and everyone else that's doing this poor planning and rollout of digital systems. Which leads me now to section 4, which is why some digital projects fail. There are lots of common pitfalls in digital projects, and the gap between technological capabilities and user needs and user skills is one of the big ones, because there is a gap, and whether people want to, the people in glass ivory offices want to admit it or not, not everyone is a whiz on a computer, and we need to bear that in mind. It just makes me mad. So a study from Project Management Journal, for example, found that approximately 70% of digital projects fail due to poor project management practices, including a lack of clear objectives, inadequate stakeholder engagement, and insufficient risk management. The big global NHS rollout, as an example, failed because the developers felt that they were developing one thing and the managers at the NHS felt and the ministers felt they were developing another. The post office scandal is, I'm not even going to touch that because if ever there was a prime example of why a digital project was destined to fail and the ramifications of that, you only have to look at the report that's been produced, which shows all the failings between not just the developer, but the post office itself in terms of its requirements were just poorly designed. By that, I mean the thinking behind it, what they were supposed to deliver, what they wanted Fujitsu Siemens to develop for them. It was just a mess. And that's a really big issue that we need to think about. The drive to putting everything digital is not always the best outcome that we can have. The International Journal of Human Computer Studies highlighted the importance of user-centered design in digital projects, and their study showed that projects designed with user input from the outset are more likely to succeed and meet user expectations. I really do not understand why that was a big shock to people. It's just, come on, folks, get with the times, get with the thinking, make things human-centric. And especially with this drive with AIs now, AIs are great, but we have to take control of them. And the people rolling out the AIs have to stop and think, what am I rolling this AI out to do? If it's to make you money, fair enough. If that's all you care about, but in the long run, it's going to fail because people are going to get fed up of using something that isn't actually beneficial to them. It might be beneficial to you, but not to the user. Healthcare, the journal Medical Internet Research had a study which said that there was a need for standardized protocols to ensure interoperability and data accuracy. Again, why is that a shock? If you haven't got that planned in from the start of any design for any digital platform, you are going to fail. Poor integration is another big issue. Journal of Information Technology discussed how poor integration with existing systems is a major cause of digital project failures, pointing out that seamless integration is crucial for ensuring data consistency and user satisfaction. I sat in a meeting once with a police force that were trying to integrate all their various databases into one system, and they had something like 12 different platforms. And this wasn't a particularly big police force, but they had 12 different platforms, and only a couple of them were able to talk to a couple of the others. It's just bizarre that we have these kind of piecemeal rollouts of things, and we don't actually consider, this system might be brilliant for my department, but how does it impact on the business overall? Or how does it affect the customer experience? Or how does it mean, if I roll this out here and it gives me this great operations management tool, how does that impact on the sales and marketing tool that's been rolled out, which is completely different? We don't do that, and we have to start doing it. Otherwise, we're just going to continue to have poor productivity levels, because a lot of other poor productivity levels, especially in the UK, is down to these bad IT systems that are being rolled out. And finally, I want to mention the Journal of Organizational Change Management, which they did research, which underscored the importance of effective change management strategies in digital transformations. Projects that fail to address organizational culture and employee training often struggle to achieve their goals. I want to underline and reinforce the idea that successful digital projects require a holistic approach that includes clear objectives, user-centered design, standardization, and effective change management. I'm encouraging listeners to advocate for comprehensive planning and execution in digital initiatives. It's really important. I started this kind of as a rant, really, about the fact that my favourite project planning tool had become 100% digital. And it's also, first of all, it's costly. But secondly, it just doesn't work the way that I want to work. And I will guarantee you that, yes, it might have all these fantastic bells and whistles and multimedia applications and links into training for this and links into training for that. But you still cannot beat paper and pen for actually getting things out of your head and pulling things together. And that will always be the same way. Digital solutions do have their place. I'm not saying they don't. And I love this new generation of AIs that have come along, as I mentioned over the last 4 weeks. But they should complement rather than replace traditional methods. And that's what's been neglected here. That's what's been forgotten. And, you know, I think I want to encourage you, listener, dear listener, to evaluate your own system or your own systems and consider hybrid approaches that leverage the best of both worlds. So come to the forum. There's always a post for each episode of ThinkWorks that I do. Come and join me on that particular post and share your experiences with digital and traditional planning tools and or other digital platforms that you've had to use because of whatever. you know, medical, local government, business, and give me your opinions and your experiences. And reflect, as I've said, on your own systems and consider what works best for your personal and professional lives. Now, I hope you enjoyed that. As I say, it started off as a little bit of a rant because I was really annoyed. But there was a lot of stuff in there, and I thought, you know what? It's time we drew a line and said, look, digital is great, but it isn't the panacea. It isn't the way to cure everything. It isn't the way to solve every problem. Sometimes you can solve problems far more effectively with a proper hardbound journal and a great pen, so you can actually free flow and get stuff out of your head and start to then draw all the connecting dots so that you see a bigger picture. You can't do this. You cannot do that in any digital platform that I've seen that comes close to matching that kind of speed, that kind of creative juice that comes off the paper when you start to fill it in with your ideas and with your thoughts and your doodles. I mean, even doodles come out and you look at them and you think, oh yeah, there's something in that. So that's my rant over. So come over and join me in the forum, which is darreninform.com/thinkworks forum. Come and join me in that for the post that I will put on there for this particular episode. Tell me all about your experiences with AIs and with other digital platforms and how you relate to using a digital versus hard bound version of something, and we'll see what we can come up with as we go forward. Keep asking questions, as I always say, and I will see you next week. I don't know what I'll be doing, but it probably won't be another rant. I might do it. I do know what I'll be doing next week. It'll be one of the ideas, or one or two of the ideas from my new book, You 2.0, Build Yourself Better, which is now out. And check out my website for details on that. But in the meantime, take care, everyone. Keep asking questions, and I'll see you next week.
Would like to find out more, or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for @DarrenInform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.